Jazakallah, Hazrat Mufti Sahib. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant you ajri azim. Allah bless you this morning and the family for your sacrifice and qurbani, inshallah. And I'm sure from day one, the ummah has been inspired and we have learned so much about the sahaba ikram and their khidmat for Islam and their love for Rasulullah, the love for the Quran, love for deen. And inshallah, we have educated ourselves so much more. So one of the books that we should have at home, the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and Hayat al-Sahaba, that every Sahabi's historical events and service for Islam is documented, and we can learn and educate ourselves and increase our knowledge about the Sahaba al-Kiram. They were the companions and disciples of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So may Allah Ta'ala give us tawfiq, respected brothers. We need to have a library at home, a library full of books on the hadith of the Prophet, Quran Kareem, tafsir, and the seerah, and fiqh, insha'Allah, so we can benefit every day spiritually and have ta'lim on a daily basis, insha'Allah. Hazrat Mufti Abdul Qadir Sahib, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Mawsalim kareem, barakallahu feekum.
Jazakallah, Mufti Sahib. Allah Ta'ala grant you ajri azim. Allah Ta'ala grant us afiyat and good health, inshallah. Some Ameen. Interesting questions have come in. Mufti Sahib, being a Muslim and in the month of Ramadan, should I report to my boss that the one of his workers stole from him?
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. You know that this person ABC has stolen, whether that person is a Muslim or a non-Muslim, but you are doing it for the benefit of the company and the benefit of your boss. And you have concrete evidence. It is not a personal vendetta, a personal disagreement you had with this person here. If that is the case, then you must report him. Because a Muslim has to be truthful and you have to show the boss that, you know what, that ABC person is stealing and here's the concrete evidence. And I don't want my name to come, but this I'm doing for the benefit of your personal benefit and the company's benefit. And you can deal with it. Here's all the evidence. So that is how you should deal with that matter.
Mufti Sahib, In the state of fasting, is it jais for us to have a haircut, or can women go to the beautician and remove hair from their eyebrows and whatever it goes with beauty? Mufti Sahib, to the question here.
Okay, this is a two-part question for the rijal, for the men to go for haircut, all that. That is totally permissible, but to go to the barber and shave the beard and all that, that's haram, but your fast will be valid. But the reward will be much less. For the women to do all this in Ramadan or out of Ramadan is all haram, all these things here. Mustafa Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's authentic hadith mentioned in Muslim Sharif, لَأَنَ اللَّهُ النَّامِسَ وَالْمُتَنَمِّسَ, that the lady who gets her eyebrows and all that, remember, to be shaped and all, you know what, to look like a beauty queen, like an air hostess, and Allah alone knows what else. The lady who does it and upon whom it is done, both of them are cursed by Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. And this is authentic hadith mentioned in Muslim Sharif. And if you read the noble Quran, the Quran Sharif makes direct, indirect reference to it. In Surah 4, Surah Nisa, chapter 4, verse 119, Satan, Lucifer, Shaitan, Satan, when he was expelled and kicked out from Jannah, so what did he say? Wala amurannahum, I will surely, definitely command them, fala yughayyirunna khalqallah, that they will change the creation of Almighty Allah Jalla Wala. Look at this on the back. You don't know who's Steve, you don't know who's Eve. Both cutting their hair, both shaping this and that. So in Islam, that is absolutely haram. There is no place for unisex in Islam. The male must remain male and the female must remain female.
Mufti Sahib, on the same question, the question is asked, the income derived by these facilities, is it halal or haram? A barber or a beautician doing all these types of activities, is the earning that they get from there, is it halal or haram?
Absolutely haram. If the barber is shaving people's beards and so forth, so that amount definitely is haram. If the beautician is doing all these things, which we know 80%, 90% is that they are cutting the hair, styling the hair, shaping the eyebrows and what, so all that income is totally haram, and we as Muslims must make it clear and not assist them in this regard. Almighty Allah taught us the golden teaching and golden maxim, chapter 5, Surah Ma'idah, verse number 2, وَتَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْبِرِّ وَالتَّقْوَى. You must cooperate in righteousness and in good things. وَلَا تَعَاوَنُوا عَلَى الْإِثْمِ وَالْعُدْوَانِ. O Muslim, you should not be cooperating in sin and transgression. Surah chapter 5, verse number 2. The verse is long. Look right in the ending and you will find it there.
Mufti Saab, I heard that the man will not enter Jannah if he wears his trousers below his ankles. Would this ruling also apply to a man wearing long work boots which covers his ankle?
Remember when Mustafa Habibuna Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam mentioned all these Mubarak words, and the hadith is sahih, authentic in Bukhari Sharif, Muslim Sharif and so forth. So it meant that clothing going down. For example, our trouser. For example, our kurta. Not things that are coming up. I got socks on now because it was chilly in Trichat. For Fajr we went. I went with Hafiz Ridwan. So Osman, our Moana Ismail's brother, mashallah. So both brothers performing Taraweeh. Allah reward them. So I got socks on. So you can't say that, no, that's not permissible. My ankles are covered. So you're wearing boots and all that. So 100% that's permissible. It means that what is going down, and it's for men. And the rationale behind it was the pride and arrogance that normally is attached to it. For women, they must wear long, long dresses or long, long izar and so forth and trousers and so forth. For them to keep their ankles exposed, and that for the ladies, absolutely haram. So now the men can't say that, no, I'm wearing my izar, my trouser or kurta below the ankles because I don't have pride and so forth. Quran says, فَلَا تُزَكُّوا أَنفُسَكُمْ. Do not try and sanctify yourself and pontificate. هُوَ أَعْلَمُ بِمَنِ اتَّقَى. Only He, Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, knows who has true taqwa and piety. So the aim is not just the trouser or the kurta. The aim is the pride and arrogance, because that became the downfall of Satan and Lucifer when he was asked that, why did you not make sajda and prostrate to Adam alayhi salam, the masterpiece of Allah's creation? Ma manaka Allah tasjuda idha amartuk, qala ana khayrun min. This is the slogan of Satan and Shaitan and Lucifer. He said, I am superior and better to him. And he gave evidence and proof that which he felt is compelling evidence. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَار وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِين. You created me from fire and the flame goes upwards. You created him from sand and dust and land and so forth. And that remains on the ground. But Allah Ta'ala condemned him forever. Why? أَبَا وَاسْتَكْبَرَ وَكَانَ مِنَ الْكَافِرِينَ. He defied the command of Almighty Allah. And what was the rationale and reason for this defiance act of his? His pride and arrogance. So that is what happens when we become so, and then from hero, we become zero. So that Allah Ta'ala protect us. So therefore, whether it be our speech, whether it be our attire, our clothing, our actions, so that pride and arrogance must not come in. Remember, therefore, I taught you the dua last night or yesterday, Q&A and when. And today also we got Q&A, inshallah, 2 to 4, with Mawlana Khalid Yaqub, inshallah. Allahumma istakhdimna wa la tastabdilna. Ya Allah, keep on using us for your deen, and with ikhlas and sincerity, with istiqamat and steadfastness, and grant us sharaf-e-qabooliyat. Ya Allah, grant us the honor of acceptance in your court. when a nation becomes unmindful like today, or we become so arrogant and so forth, then Allah Ta'ala removes us and replaces us with somebody else. وَإِن تَتَوَلَّوْ يَسْتَبْدِ الْقَوْمًا غَيْرَكُمْ ثُمَّ لَا يَكُونُ أَمْثَالَكُمْ. When you turn away from the message and mission of Almighty Allah's Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then Allah Ta'ala will replace you with somebody else, and though somebody else, the replacement will not be like you. So ye darne ka maqam, we should be very concerned. Are we doing things for the love and pleasure of Allah, or if we have a hidden agenda, ulterior motive?
Mufti Saab, can I wear lipstick while fasting?
And then lipstick will happen. So remember, not permissible, that people want to put lip ice, people want to put Vaseline, people want to put lipstick and so. So slowly, slowly, you will lick your lips and so forth, and then you will swallow it, and then it will break your fast. Not permissible, all these things there. You women, you want to put lipstick, dipstick, all these things there, you put at night for your husband, not for the whole world, and then you can do all your gymnastics at night, inshallah, no problem with that.
AK, please advise, if I steal and don't want to be named and shamed, can I return the goods secretly and ask God to forgive me my sincere directly?
What you need to know is, if you stole and you're admitting you stole, so you must return that, whatever the amount is, and then, and the boss doesn't know about it as yet, you must beg Almighty Allah Jalla Wala for forgiveness and say, Ya Allah, let me not repeat this vice and crime. Because in Islam, when a person is guilty of theft, you stole 5,000, 10,000, 100,000 in cash or kind, and you're admitting to it, then Quran Kareem states, وَالسَّارِقُ وَالسَّارِقَةُ فَقْتَعُوا أَيْدِيَهُمَا. You must amputate a hand from the wrist downwards. So meaning that this person's hand, when it is honest, it's very expensive. For one finger is 10 camels. So all 10, 100 camels. Works out in millions and millions of rands and so forth. But when a person steals 1,000, 5,000, 10,000, then why? وَإِذَا خَانَتْ حَانَتْ. When that hand becomes corrupted and a crook, then it becomes disgraced as well. So we just have to make 5-10 people in South Africa, every province, just make one, two people a sample example, and start with the politicians and see your crime problem in South Africa will be solved. But nobody will do it, because the politicians know their hands are right in the cookies. In the money cookies, you see that? They want, you must remember, more and more. Nigalomali, bring more and more. So that is what happens. And the whole world is like that today. For what they fight for power, and they murder and kill their opponents and what have you. Or they freeze their accounts, and crazy, crazy things happen. For all, there's the greed of humanity across the board and spectrum.
Oktisab, this is a very sensitive question. AK, I murdered 30 people in my life. I went to my pastor for advice. He wants to spy me out at the police station. I'm on the run now. However, I heard a similar story like mine. So before I kill my pastor, will God also forgive me?
The story you heard is this. In the days bygone, that there was a person in Bani Israel, the Israelites, and he killed 99 people. So he went to his pastor, to his priest, and so forth and so on, and asked him, is there Tawbah for me? Is there any way out that I'll be forgiven by Almighty Allah? He told him, you killed 99, so for you there's no forgiveness. So he said, let me finish the century, and he killed him as well. But lo and behold, because he was sincere in his repentance, so after that, now he was going to look for somebody to give him the correct verdict, he passed away. Now there was a debate among the angels. This person must go to hell or must he go to heaven? So Almighty Allah is Arhamur Rahimin, chapter 7, verse 151. O Almighty Allah, Jalla Wala, that you include us in your special, special mercy. وَأَنْتَ أَرْحَمُ الرَّاحِمِينَ. And you are the most merciful one to show mercy. So my brother, that is what Allah's mercy is. But that does not absolve you from the hukukul ibad, the rights of people. And don't ever think of killing the pastor and say, let me make it an odd number. I finish up 30, let me make it 31. No, 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 we don't advise that. So we will advise, this is our advice to you. Go to the authorities, to the police and tell them, yes, I killed 30 people and I'm admitting to my crime and so forth. So you can use me, you'll understand, as a sample example of a person who is repenting. And remember, if you truly repent and you embrace Islam truly and sincerely, so Almighty Allah will forgive you. And inshallah, suppose death, you will go straight to Jannat al-Firdaus because you have paid your duty to society, and maybe you went to prison or jail or whatever you and so forth. So that is our advice to you. So number one, don't think of killing your pastor. Second one is this, go to the authorities and just say, yes, this is what you did and so forth. You know South Africa, they're very soft on crime and so forth. So then there will be mitigating circumstances and they will say the man had admission of guilt and there was confession and so forth, maybe a few years, and then you come out. But you must embrace Islam and remain positive in the mercy of Almighty Allah. So the crimes you committed against Allah, Allah will forgive us if we repent sincerely and we have Islam. The crimes against humanity we committed, so then we have to ask them for forgiveness. And if they forgive us, then we are forgiven. And then the crime against the state and the country, so for that you might have to spend some time in prison. And that is our advice to you, brother.
Salams, what happens when your husband swears you every day and is verbally abusive and asks you to leave the house and accuses you with another man? What do you do? Allah knows best. I like to remain anonymous.
Almighty Allah Jalla Wala has addressed both of you. Allah addressed your husband and every husband. So we are married. Maul Salim is married. I'm married. Junaid Mota is married. I'm not sure of Brother Zakaria there and so forth. But be that as it may. So for every husband, what does Almighty Allah say? Chapter 4, Surah 4, Surah Nisa, verse 19. وَعَاشِرُوهُنَّ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ. Treat your wives with love, with respect and justice. And this is not something mustahab, desirable. It's compulsory and mandatory. Number two, you swearing your wife and telling her and accusing her that she's sleeping with other men and so forth. So in a true Islamic country, you will be given 80 lashes in public for making all these type of wild, wild allegations. Go and read Surah Nur, chapter 24. It comprises 64 verses, and right in the beginning you will find, وَالَّذِينَ يَرْمُونَ الْمُحْسَنَاتِ ثُمَّ لَمْ يَعْتُوا بِأَرْبَعَةِ شُهَدَاءِ فَجْدِدُوهُمْ ثَمَانِينَ جَلْدًا. You must give them 80 lashes in public. So that is the law in Islam. So you, my brother, if what your wife is saying is the truth, you are guilty on multiple charges and you must change your attitude. If this is your attitude in Ramadan, then what will be your behavior out of Ramadan? It'll be worse. So remember, brother, go to your wife, ask her for forgiveness. Both of you read Surah 25, chapter 25, verse 74. Rabbana hablana min azwajina wa dhurriyatina qurrata ayun. Both of you daily read the Asma'ullah al-Husna, the beautiful 99 names of Allah. Allah commands us, chapter 7, verse 180, to read the beautiful, wonderful names of Almighty Allah. وَلِلَّهِ الْأَسْمَاءُ الْحُسْنَى فَادْعُوهُ بِهَا. مَنْ حَفِظَهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ مَنْ أَحْصَاهَا دَخَلَ الْجَنَّةِ. Who memorizes the 99 names of Allah enters paradise, who looks inside and reads, then he enters paradise. The first hadith of memorizing Bukhari Sharif, the second one mentioned in Tirmidhi. So read, ya wadood, give out charity. Inshallah, Allah will change the unfavorable condition to favorable. Jazakallah khairan wa salim kareem. And our esteemed listeners, make dua for us, make dua for the ummah, make dua for Ghazza.
Mufti Saab, can we take one more question if it's possible?
Ji, quickly, inshallah.
Mufti Saab, I am a gardener. I did my boss's garden. I cut one of his trees too short. So after I finished his garden, he refused to pay me my day's wages. I stole from his garage a spade, which is valued below the amount he owes me. I sold the spade. Is this money halal for me?
100% halal. So what you did, you're a sharpshooter. You took the spade and you sold it also. So if you cut the tree or whatever plant that was short, you didn't do it deliberately to cause it harm. You did it to enhance his garden, and now he doesn't pay you. So you took his spade and then you went away and you sold it, and it's less than what he owes you. It's halal, 100% halal. فَمَنِ اِتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ فَاَتَدُوا عَلَيْهِ بِمِثْلِ مَا اَتَدَى عَلَيْكُمْ. That's your دليل. وَإِنْ عَاقَبْتُمْ فَآقِبُوا بِمِثْلِ مَا اُقِبْتُمْ بِي. All these are Quranic verses. So your money is halal. Don't worry, brother. Today, iftar time, you use it and you can send him a message. Tell him, I took your spade and I'll teach you a lesson. And AK told me, my money is 100% halal. You must tell him like that. And next time you do that, I'll bring my AK-47 and be lucky I didn't do that. So you must remember that. Okay, salamu alaikum wa rahmatullah.
Wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.